China. Titties. Labia. Ovaries. Broadcast.
And welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome to the show, episode 28. How are you guys doing?
Good. I was almost a little nervous you weren't going to say what number episode we were at. You had a bit of a pause, and I was like, oh, no.
Well, I was
kind of, you came through.
I was thinking, like, why do I do this? But you know what? I don't know. I just like doing it.
It's a thing now. You can't not do it. It'd be weird.
Exactly. I'm a completist. I have to keep going. Hi, guys. How's it going? Anybody do anything interesting this weekend?
Oh, you know, nothing really too big. You know, nothing historical or anything.
I went on a walk.
Yeah, just a leisurely stroll with a couple of my friends.
So did I. I also went for a walk. It was me, myself, and my iPod. And I passed this woman who was running because I live next to this state park. And I passed by this woman and she was wearing the strangest pink hat. It looked a lot like what you're wearing on your head, Amanda.
Yes.
And I called out to her. She looked like she was in her maybe late 40s, early 50s. And it was very quiet because it was kind of rainy that day. And I was just like, nice hat. And she was just like, thank you. Yeah. Thumbs up and like kept going. It was really funny.
I thought you were going to go for like an HRC story that is like, I was hiking in the woods and then, you know, there was all those like Hillary in the woods of Westchester. That's where I thought you were going with that.
No. I just saw a lady in a very cool hat, much like the one you're wearing right now, Amanda.
It's true. I am rocking a pussy hat right now. Christy had made me a hat that I was going to take down to the Women's March this past weekend, but it didn't arrive in time, so I didn't get to bring it. And of course, it was waiting for me when I got home Sunday night, so I am wearing it today to make up for it.
Awesome.
Awesome.
And she did a very good job. It's really, I'm super, like, it's so cozy and warm and really, really pretty.
You have been saying great things about this hat since we got on the Skype, the Google Hangout a half an hour ago. So I can attest she likes the hat.
I do. I like the hat.
So
yes, it's very cute. I'm snapping it right now, just FYI.
Ooh.
I'll probably put it on the Insta also.
Perfect. Yeah, I'll do an Insta picture at some point as well.
Very good. So anything else is up? We are going to talk about Amanda's experience at the march, but we figured that's going to be like the meat and potatoes of this first section. So,
that seems like a lot to lead with. So we'll keep it light to start.
Yeah. Speaking of light, I'm doing that 3-day refresh cleanse again this weekend, or tomorrow starting actually.
Didn't you just do it?
Yeah, like 5 or 6 weeks ago in the middle of December.
So wait, what was the feedback on that? Like, what was the verdict? I'm interested in your experience.
I really liked it. It wasn't like, you know, some super weight loss thing or anything. It was just, you really could only eat like fruits and vegetables for a few days and healthy fats like avocado and hummus and whatnot. And you got to do the Shakeology in the morning. And then there were two additional shakes throughout the day. You mixed two of the three shakes with a fruit of your choice. And then the last one, you didn't really make it with anything. And then there was a fiber drink that you had. And then you were supposed to give up coffee or anything caffeinated. I did not, because I don't put like sugar or cream or anything in my coffee anyway. And, you know, it was like, we prefer, you know, to get the maximum results or experience, you should give up caffeine too. And I was like, it's only 3 days. I'm giving up booze and food in general, so I'm going to keep my coffee, thank you very much. And I really only ever put a splash of almond milk in it anyway, so doing black was, you know, it was fine. So I'm going to do that again this weekend, this week, next few days. Jesus, I'm doing it now if you're hearing this.
So wait, so you can eat food on this?
You can eat. It's just portion controlled. Okay. So, and you pretty much are eating.
So it's not just a straight liquid.
No, you're pretty much eating or drinking something once an hour. That actually by the end of the day, each day, I wasn't even really hungry for the third shake that they would have you make as like a snack. And you could also have green tea and other things with it. But and I did feel better after the 3 days. Like I felt a lot less bloated, which I think was probably the purpose because you're drinking a shit ton of water. You're supposed to drink half your body weight in water each day. It's just a point like just to, I guess, flush your system. And I know some women that do it like every month. I don't think I'm going to do it like every month, although now I am doing it 2 months in a row. But I did like it. So, my weekend was fun. Zach had a birthday party at a bouncy house on Saturday morning, and it was super cute. And then
that's awesome.
It was so adorable. It's just funny to watch how he interacts with other kids, but he's still like, he had fun. Like he'd play with them, but he would still turn around and like have, cause the parents could play in it too. He still turn around and have great. Like one of us come in and go down the slides with him or something. So it was still kind of cool. And then on Saturday night, we went to go see Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood Live, which was really fun. We had gotten tickets on our own, but we found out the day before that one of Jay's coworkers was taking his daughter and going with a friend. So all three families met up beforehand at this like burger place. And then they actually ended up sitting close to us. So that was great. But I put this on Twitter. It was really funny by the second act. So this was at Durham Performing Arts Center, and it's a concert venue, but you can like take food and drinks into it. So
cool.
Like they're purchase food and drink. But to be honest, I probably could have snuck like a 6-pack in and nobody would have ever noticed because they barely check the bags. But I guess they thought the terrorism threats for a children's performance was super low. go figure. But by the time the second act had started, I looked around and like all the kids had like the big soft pretzels and were like happily munching, and all the parents had like their big ass like beers or wine or liquor drink, because they had like liquor in there too. It was like middle shelf liquor, but you know, they still charged like super top shelf prices.
of course
it was like, here's your $16 one shot of Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was really fun. Oh, that was pretty much my weekend. It was a good time.
Good deal, man. Good deal. Yeah, that picture you posted was super adorable.
Yeah.
I've never seen a little kid so excited for anything. He was just so enthralled.
Oh my God, he was so into it. Like he believed that it was real and happening and awesome. He was like, totally into it. It was great. It was only at the very end where they did like the whatever fucking dance thing, like clap your hands and squawk your arms or some shit like that, that he started to get a little antsy because he saw all these kids older than him were dancing in the aisles and he wanted to get up too. And we were like, no, we're tired and half buzzed. We're not getting up with you. We used to get buzzed and dance. Now we get buzzed and just want to enjoy it and sit down. Hashtag parents of the year. But he did manage to get, he wanted the little plush Daniel Tiger afterwards. And he was so adorable. And he was so well behaved during the show that we were like, fine. and they did have this, let me see if I can show you guys the pictures through the screen. And they had this place to pose afterwards.
Oh my God.
He had a super blast doing it. So yeah, we didn't mind like any of it. It was totally an awesome day. And we came home and watched a Fixer Upper marathon on HGTV. So I would say all in all, like the best Saturday you could have.
Good weekend. Yeah. This bouncy castle thing.
Oh, so
were parents allowed to jump in the bouncy castle?
Yes, and we did. We actually, I need to put this on the patrons group, and I actually will put this on the patrons group, but they had this thing in there, and let me see again if I could turn like the sound up, because you guys will freaking...
Okay. It was so loud.
It's so big.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Yeah, so we kept trying to... We were the parents.
To make it over the balls.
Oh, that's so fun. Oh, it, my goodness.
It was so fun.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we went on like all the different rides with him and stuff. Or rides with him. We were the only parents, granted, that actually got in and started doing things on our own. Because Zachary is nowhere near this, where this video has been taken. I just want to point that out. He was doing other fun things with children of his own age, and we were the only parents in there that were like having a blast. But you know, YOLO. Yeah.
Exactly. They were all just missing out.
Like, you had the moms there that had like their Kate Spade purses and like were all dressed nicely and stuff and didn't even have their shoes off. And then you had the parents that had their shoes off in case they needed to go in and like provide assistance for a scared child, you know, and we're okay with going in there and like watching them, but not playing in it. And then you had the parents who were like, dude, I want to fucking do this bouncy house too. They didn't have this shit when I was a kid. So
the fun parents is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. But yeah, we didn't want to play with the kids. We just wanted to play with ourselves.
Yeah. Again, the fun parents.
Yeah. I kind of want to, if we have the charity podcast, when we have the Jane Jack annual podcast-a-thon, I kind of want to rent out a bouncy house for grown-ups.
Seriously, I was just going to say, could like grown-ups have a birthday party there if they wanted to? Because I do.
Because it's super fun. I'm not even kidding.
Because, yeah.
Let me see if
I think that might be my dream, to have a bouncy house party for myself.
Okay, grown-up bouncy house. Let's see if there are any results on Google that are actually appropriate and not creepy. it looks like they totally... Hippity hop for adults? Okay, they have things.
Hippity hop.
I don't know. I'm going to have to look into this. And if not, somebody needs to open such an establishment immediately.
Yep. That's how we're going to make our millions, guys.
Woo! We figured it out.
Awesome.
Anyway, good. Somebody else go. I think 13 minutes in is the shortest I've ever talked.
Yay!
I mean, I think all that's left of the weekend really is the March stuff.
Yeah, that's all I did.
All right.
That's pretty much all I did, too.
Although I do have a funny story. Well, funny and terrifying in how I got home from D.C.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, it's not terrifying. But yeah, so I bought my tickets to go down to D.C., my Amtrak tickets, months ago, just because the price gets more and more expensive the closer you get to the time of your trip. So I thought I'd save a few dollars, and I did. It was like my trip back was like a $46 Amtrak ticket, which is like unheard of.
Wow, that is.
So Sunday we head back into DC because we were staying outside of DC in Virginia with my friend's aunt. And I get to Union Station. I'm like making really good time. Oh my good, I'll have time to buy some food before my train. Cause I hadn't really eaten much that day. And I'm like, but before I get food, I'm just going to go check the board and see what track my train is on. And I look and I don't see my train on the track on the board. So I'm like, oh, that's weird. And I pull up my e-ticket and I'm looking. My train is not on the board because I bought a train ticket for Monday, not Sunday.
Oh no.
I know. Part of me was like, oh my God, did they just change it and not tell me? Like, how could I have been this dumb? Like, how could I have done this?
Oh, no.
So I had like a mild freak out because I was like, no, I have to go home. Like, I have to be at work on Monday. I left a whole bunch of shit.
Oh my God.
With the thought that I would do it on Monday. So wow. I go up to the Amtrak ticket window and I'm like, oh my God, they're going to laugh at my face. Like, of course there's no open seats on any train going to New York the day after the Women's March on Washington.
Oh my God.
Of course not. So I wait in line and I get up to the ticket window and you know, I'm like, I'm sorry. I know this is probably a really stupid question, but is there any way I can exchange these tickets and get on a train that's going to New York at any point today? And he's like, yeah, actually, there's a seat available for the 325 if you want it. Nice. I was like, yes, yes, I want it. He's like, well, wait, hold on. Let me tell you how much it's going to cost first. I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. I'm like, well, maybe I do care. If it's like $300, then... But it was like $125. So yeah, that kind of sucks. That's so, you know, I'm not buying any a new pair of shoes this month or anything.
But that's...
it was a sold out train. Yeah. So I must have gotten one of the last tickets. So it all worked out. I just got home a tiny bit later than I was originally planning to. But all's well that kind of ends well. But I guess lesson of the story, kids. Pay attention to what you're buying. Check the dates. Consult a calendar and check it twice.
That's one of the things that I get like anxiety about. I get anxiety about a lot of things, but I always like before a flight or something, I'm always like, fuck, what if I book the wrong date and it's like, you know, I don't actually have a ticket for this flight on this day. And I always get so paranoid. I check it like 100 times. And even after they let me check in 24 hours beforehand, I still, when I'm going up to the, have the people at, you know, security, like check me. I'm always like, oh my God, what if it says that it's just the wrong flight?
Me too. And it's never actually happened until this weekend.
I'm sorry.
Ma'am.
Yeah. But now I know somebody that's lived through it and it's been okay.
Yeah, it was okay. I'm just, you know, $125 in the hole.
Oh, I know. That sucks. I'm sorry.
That sucks.
Hashtag living that credit card debt life. It'll be fine.
Hashtag Trump's America.
Right.
In the grand scheme of everything that has happened in the past 4 days, that's not the worst thing that has happened.
Amanda. The worst thing.
Which is sad under any other circumstance. Yeah. That would have been the worst thing that happened to me this week.
Yeah.
Not the worst thing that has happened this week.
Amanda, call it credit card debt. I call it living for the moment. It's just alternative facts, okay?
Yeah. Alternative effects.
Anyway.
Oh, guys, we live in a scary, scary time.
It's all good. You got that wine and that credit card debt.
And my pussy hat. I got my credit card debt. I got my pussy hat and I got my wine.
Yeah.
All I need is my my bomb shelter and I'll be okay.
Actually, what instead of a bomb shelter, we just all huddled in giant bouncy houses.
Oh, my God.
We'd at least have a lot of fun.
I would feel a little better.
Living that bouncy house life.
But the bouncy house for adults would have to have like cup holders.
Yeah, of course.
So you could like put your beverages on the side and they would be safe.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Again,
maybe it would have a little like bouncy cooler that you could like bounce over to and like lift it up.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's a keg. Maybe it has like a spout.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
But like padded, so just in case you bounce into it, you're okay.
Yeah, so you don't want to lose teeth or like bang your head because you're you hit a tap. You don't want to do that.
Yeah. Bouncy house life is also another euphemism for Trump's America. So
also if anyone wants to steal my really good idea, trademark. Unless you want to give me the money and help me make this good idea, then you can come on the team.
No, seriously, though, I like it. Bouncy house bunkers.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Good deal. So should we get to it then?
Yes. Okay. Tell us about this March. This little thing that happened this past weekend that both of you attended.
Yeah, that's true. Shandy, would you like to go first? I'm curious to see how it was out in San Fran.
Sure. Yeah, it was really cool. It was, I think, one of the later ones. Like the actual march didn't start until 5. And seeing as how it is still January, you know, it was dark like shortly thereafter. It's actually been raining a ton over here. And so, of course, like right before the march started, it started pouring down rain. But tons of people still came. It was incredible. Like, I've never been part of something so big. And
that's what she said.
It was really, really cool. And I have to wonder, I think there are like 100,000 or so people in San Francisco. I have to wonder how many there would have been if it hadn't rained. But it was super cool. Everyone was awesome. we came, we marched, we saw signs and took pictures, and then we went home. But it really, like, it felt really, really, really great.
Yeah.
And holy shit, did you guys see that in the one in LA had 750,000 people?
Jay's Aunt Cindy was at that one.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
That's gotta be as close to the DC. That's what they were sort of projecting. The last I heard, DC was like 700,000.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah. I also really loved that people marched on all seven continents.
Yes.
Even freaking Antarctica.
That's pretty awesome.
That is how big of a deal this was. So it was super cool.
Do you guys?
We had a good time.
Do we want to, without getting super political, though? Fuck it, we've crossed that line already.
guilty.
Do we want? I know that there's been a lot of controversy with people, especially on social media, who seem to not understand what the point of the march was, and. I kind of got into it a little bit with somebody on my boss's Facebook page after the first time that I tried to politely, you know, say something. You know, I just got shut down within 15 seconds. I was like, well, you said this and that's not true. So your argument has no validity. And I just was, and first of all, what he said, I didn't even say. So I was just like, I just did the thumbs up.
We're living in a world of alternative facts.
That's true.
So that's going to happen from time to time. Yeah.
So I just gave him the thumbs up emoji and like left it at that. Because I was like, dude, I'm not fucking arguing with you. I know that we had that Christie Facebook post that went around recently. And then like the rebuttal to that one. And then I saw somebody else wrote a rebuttal to the rebuttal. And I'm sure it has gone on and on and on and on. Reddit is a magical place. But... Does anybody want to take a stab at why it was important to march? Because I've heard, I'm sure we've seen on Facebook. Or do we want to talk about this when we get to the Facebook feedback? Because I know we had something from Lindsay too.
Yeah.
My response is short and sweet, honestly. Like, I think that there are a lot of interesting conversations to be had about like intersectionality and
My new favorite word.
how people were treated at this march versus maybe how people might be treated at a Black Lives Matter march. I think that's more of an interesting conversation. But yes. if somebody, honestly, and this might be a controversial statement, but I am going to stick by it. If somebody is seriously like so thick-headed that they don't understand why this happened in the first place, basically, like, my feeling is just like, well, fuck you. And I don't really feel like talking to that kind of person about it. And I know that we're supposed to be like, you know, not divide people and whatever. And I, but
you mean,
no,
you're supposed to be like, having conversations.
You. Right. It's just like, yeah. If you're really that stupid, then I just kind of don't want to talk to you. Sorry, not sorry.
No, and sort of the same. And I think what's sort of wonderfully complicated about this march is that there are countless reasons to march. Mm-hmm. There are countless things that go into the idea of equality. And so when someone says that as a woman that they don't understand, they feel equal, it just kind of baffles me because it's at a certain point, it's not about the individual. Mm-hmm. It's about so much more than that. And it's, you know, yeah, it is the fact that women still, and this is a provable fact.
Right.
Provable fact. Let's keep this in mind, guys. Provable facts. Women still make 80 cents on the dollar. And that's just white women.
Right.
It's less for a Black woman. It's less for a Latina woman.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just there are so many levels of inequality that are going on. And even on top of that, it's an awakening for people that maybe have never protested before or never knew that they could speak out or how to speak out.
Right.
That it's awakening for people of, I'm really unhappy and I'm really fearful of where our country is going right now. And I have this safe platform to do something about it. And it's the first step into learning how to be active in our democracy, because that is part of what a democracy is. It's learning how to constructively speak out when you don't like something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I really loved about the DC March. So the DC March started with a rally in the morning, which is countless speakers. Like, I'm just still in awe that I was able to hear both Gloria Steinem and Angela Davis speak at the same event. When, like, I was standing with my friend and she just sort of looks over at me and she's like, did you ever think in your life that you would hear Gloria Steinem and Angela Davis speak at the same event? And it's like, no. Well, also, it's sort of sad that they still have to keep speaking out.
Yeah.
That they have literally been doing this for decades and they're still having to speak. But Michael Moore, who spoke, and I actually saw him, he spoke at a rally I went to in New York on Thursday, and he sort of, it was clearly like the prototype of what he said in DC on Saturday.
Yeah.
Was just giving people points of what to do next. So it's like, great, mm-hmm. you came out, you marched, you should be proud of yourself, but don't let this be your good deed, and then you just kind of go back and complain on Facebook about what's going on. Like, here are some things you can do. Like, here is the phone number to call Congress. If you don't know your senator, like, here is the site that you go to look them up. If you do not know their direct extension, here's like the main code. You can give them your zip code and they'll connect you that way. And this is what you need to do. And like, he's like, follow me on Facebook every day for the next month. I'm going to provide one action point that you can do today to speak out in a constructive way. And I think stuff like that is really beneficial moving forward for people to stay engaged.
Now, did mm-hmm. you see Ashley Judd?
I did. And that's actually, it's interesting you brought that up, because she, it was this weird sort of thing. She actually went right after Michael Moore. And I thought, I didn't realize, and my friend sort of explained to me later, that it was kind of probably a planned thing, that she like came on and interrupted him and then like started her thing.
Yeah.
And at first I was a little like, did that just happen? Did she just straight up interrupt him? And I was like, oh, okay. Because I couldn't actually see at that point, mm-hmm. like someone had moved in my direction of the screen. So I couldn't see that it was really sort of meant to be kind of a joke, or at least mm-hmm. I think.
Okay.
But yeah, I was there for, I saw most all speakers.
Jesus, she started marching.
Yeah. Yeah. She was pretty ridiculous. She really got into it.
So anyway, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Do you have any other cool stories from it? Like, Did you meet up with anybody that, like, did you see anybody there that you knew that you hadn't planned on meeting up with? Like, hey, you are here.
No. It's when you're in a crowd that size, it's hard to keep track of the people you're there with.
I know.
To be honest.
I know.
My phone crapped out. Right. We got there at like 7 a.m. I think my phone stopped working around like 8:30. I just was not receiving any messages. I couldn't get online. Uh-huh. So I just kind of put my phone on airplane mode for most of the day, just because it was draining battery. But Maggie and I were texting a little bit. There was a certain point in the afternoon where I was able to get a little reception. So she'd be like, we're over on Constitution. I'm like, I'm over here. I don't even know where we are. We're just like standing in the middle of the mall because we can't seem to move. Because essentially what ended up happening is that there were so many people that they couldn't all fit into the designated march zone.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So there was like a rumor going around that there wasn't going to be a march at all.
What?
And here's sort of
so my it became thing more about like protests. Occupy Washington
it's at Mall. The march. Yeah, and that really, honestly, the marching part is sort of secondary to the rally part of a protest, uh-huh. is the sort of speaking out and the action points and that sort of stuff. So the marching really was sort of secondary to that, I think, to begin with. And I think a lot of people didn't quite realize that going into it. And again, why would you if you've never been to any sort of protest event before?
Yeah.
You know, why would you know that? But they just weren't planning on that many people. So eventually the marching part really did kind of become a free for all. So it was Constitution Ave. It was the other street on the other side of the mall. It was like one street down that way. It was just like, kind of like when you bust a seam and just, or, you know, when you, this is probably a better example. When you open a can of like crescent rolls.
I was totally thinking
and it just kind of like and just kind of goes everywhere.
Yes.
It was like that with people. Like, it was just wherever you just were following crowds, and eventually you were supposed to end up at the White House, but there was too many people, so they closed that shit down. They're like, you can't can't do that. And
wow. With all those people, it's amazing that since, you know, they had the highest number of any inauguration in the history of inaugurations the day before, that they would have figured out how to accommodate the crowds the next day.
I know. You would have thought.
It must be the same people running Comic-Con that ran the crowds at D.C.
But yeah, I mean, there really wasn't that much of a police presence. They were pretty chill. I think, and it's sad to say, I think, and I'm obviously not the first one to voice this, that a lot of the reason for that is probably because the crowd was predominantly white women. Mm-hmm. So, you know, cops tend to, you know, they're just sort of the idea that,
yeah,
you know, but yeah, it was really cool. A lot of great signs.
Yeah. A lot of great
speakers. America Ferrera. Like, I mean, I loved her before, but her speech was probably one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
It's circulating around the social medias now. If you have not listened to it, do yourself a favor and please do. She had my favorite line of the day, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but it was, I don't want to live. We can't go from a nation of immigrants to a nation of...
Hold on, I can Google it for you.
Yeah.
Hold on, I can Google it for you.
Edit me.
Edit. Pivot.
Okay, wait, got it. We can't go from a nation of immigrants to a nation of ignorance. And I was just like, oh, that's so good.
I'm totally not editing that out. Just
no, I don't want to sound like a dummy. I'm on a roll. On a roll of sounding the smarts.
Amanda, you always sound the smarts. You speak the feels and sound the smarts.
Oh, shucks. but yeah, the ladies of Congress spoke. My new girl crush, Kamala Harris, spoke. My senator from New York, Mrs. Gillibrand, spoke. Tammy Duckworth spoke. So they all just sort of came up there as a united front, and it was really awesome to see that. Yeah, so it was good. Janelle Monáe was there. Alicia Keys came out. Nice. I miss Madonna. They didn't really, we were already out marching at that point. So we had missed Madonna's performance, which, you know, F-bombs on live television and all that good stuff.
I actually didn't see that because during that was when I was actually doing my little walk myself with the pussy hat runner. And I just saw like the tweets come in and I was like, well, I guess I could always see Madonna cursing at any point.
It's true.
I get my mouth from Madonna. I don't know if I really want to spread that rumor, but cool. So tough crowd tonight.
And I laughed.
You took a sip of wine.
I laughed. I sipped. I was laughing while I was sipping.
Oh, awesome. But no, signs before we wrap up further, because I actually did have some things that I wanted to say about the cause, but I'm going to wait because we have an email and other things on it. So that way we don't blow all of our load early. coolest sign that you saw, because I loved the Princess Leia ones that someone like women run the resistance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a woman's place within the resistance.
Yes, yeah. thank you.
I liked the ones that it's like if my uterus could shoot bullets, the government wouldn't try to regulate it.
Yes, that was a good one. I liked don't agree with abortion, get a vasectomy. Don't agree with abortion, don't get one. But maybe don't decide that for other people. But anyway.
But to be fair and real quick, just you brought up a good point. A lot of pro-life, I should say, groups were getting all up in arms about the march and sort of saying that they weren't invited.
Yeah, they can also just go fuck themselves.
Well, but just to clear the record and like let's again, facts, that was really not the case. The Women's March, it was inclusive to everyone. There was a pro-life group that was a co-sponsor of event that backed out. Because when the march came out with their platform, they were very progressively pro-choice. So it didn't make sense for the pro-life group to remain on as a co-sponsor. They weren't disinvited from the event.
Okay.
So I think that's something that like just, again, alternative
but
facts.
But they did come out and say that it was a mistake that they were made co-sponsor. So yeah, there was definitely,
but it was like on mutual sides, and they were still invited to attend.
Somebody
and
didn't
there
fact
were pro life
because there should
be pro life groups that attended.
They have no business being a sponsor. Like that's a central issue.
Yes, and to be fair, there are pro life feminists.
Yeah.
So, and that's,
I think the values clash.
I really do. This goes back to.
I think at a certain point, if we're going to be inclusive about feminism
but you don't have to be inclusive of everybody. I don't think so. I don't think you have to be inclusive to everyone. If you're inclusive to everyone, then you're like wrangling in Sarah Palin and stuff. People who are antithetical
except
to the cause.
Sarah Palin doesn't, I mean, she's got a whole point of crazy.
Yeah.
That isn't just so this goes back to
but it's also a multi-pronged thing. And I think that's also what gets me frustrated about abortion people that took issue with the entire march just because it was pro-choice. That it's like you can still be for the plethora of other issues that were on the table for debate and just not be for that one. Like there's plenty of things, plenty of ways to get involved and still be part of the movement. So the UCC, the United Church of Christ, they have, they're an open and affirming church. And the way it was explained to me once by a reverend that I really respect when she was sort of trying to explain open and affirming, she said, this is the church's platform, but think of it like a choir. If there's a note you can't hit, it's okay to sit back and not sing it and let the rest of the choir sing. Just don't try and interfere with it. Like, just let them sing the note, let them carry you until you feel like you can come back in. So I feel like that's kind of where I fall on the pro-choice, pro-life. Like, I don't understand pro-life when it comes to the platform of speaking, you know, like regulation, but I don't fault someone for being pro-life. Like, you are allowed to be pro-life. Just please don't let it, you know, like, I feel like I'm not explaining it properly.
Hold on one sec. I understand what you're saying, but I was raised Catholic, and I do understand just from growing up in it. I understand the pro-life position. I do. I truly do. And I think what you're trying to say is don't let that one issue be the one thing that defines, that keeps it from everything else, like in terms of equality. Like if we can't get past that one issue, there's still 17 other issues that really need to be addressed. And let's not get hung up on the one thing when we can all band together and fight for wage equality, or we can all band together and fight for other things that still, no matter what your stance is towards abortion, which I think is really... I get the Catholic stance against birth control, but I think it's stupid. But
it's like you can't be against both. If you're against birth control, that's how people are going to have unwanted pregnancies.
Right. Like, I get it. I get it, but I don't get it. Like, I understand it because I've heard it all. But yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking that you're trying to get at, Amanda.
I am. And I think I am very much pro-choice. And I guess so to land on it before I just ramble off into whatever.
Ramble off into the bouncy house bunker.
Yeah, I'm like bouncing around.
but your beer is safe.
I'm bouncing around. I don't fault someone for being pro-life. I do fault them for and try and affect the regulation of it. That if you are pro-life, like let it be about yourself and don't try and impose it on people that don't share your religious beliefs. Because more often than not, people are pro-life because of religious beliefs. So I think it's a church thing, not a state regulatory government thing.
Right.
And I think is something we probably, the three of us, can agree on in this group, that it should not be a government regulated thing. Like I'm all for the, like, my body, my choice.
Definitely.
Just to be clear on that. Like, I don't want people to think that,
I think the whole idea of legislating it is essentially just punishing women and controlling women and not giving women bodily autonomy. Yes. And that is why, for me, being pro-life is really at odds with feminism, because like feminism is all about like bodily autonomy, being, you know, being able to make your own decisions about yourself and equality and stuff. And so, like, I think those two things don't mesh. Again, like, doesn't mean, that's the other thing. Like, if you don't have to want to get an abortion to be pro-choice.
Well, exactly. And I think it's a good point.
I don't think I would get one, but I don't think that that means that you shouldn't have the right to choose that.
Well, there are there are tons and tons of millions of women, binders full of women, who would choose to not ever have an abortion, but who might still be pro-choice because they believe that they don't get to tell other people what to do.
Well, I think
with their own body.
Yes.
To bring up what you were just saying, I think a whole lot of the dissent, especially the predominantly white male dissent, because I think that, and I don't mean this to sound condescending, but I think a lot of the women that were protesting, and I'm just going to throw Lindsay's feedback in right here because I feel
I think
fits.
This is a good place for it.
We had some feedback in the Facebook group, the patrons Facebook group, from Lindsay. I need the broadcast in my life right now. If I see one more Facebook post about how feminism is stupid because it's a bunch of fat chicks who can't get dates making fun of skinny girls who give blowjobs, I might lose my mind. And I feel like the women who are dissenting against it are either people, I don't even want to say that they're women who are educated and privileged, because I actually don't think that at all. I think they are
privileged.
They might be privileged, but from what I understand, that woman, Christy, that wrote the Facebook post and some of the other dissenting opinions of people I've seen are people that actually were not raised with the privilege and the education. And they feel like, well, my life is fine. I was able to overcome. And to that I say, that's wonderful for you that, you know, you're happy with what you've done. But there are people that still couldn't do that. And that's right. One of the reasons that people are marching. And
most of those people are probably white, let me guess.
I was going to say that, and I was going to preface it if that's too political and you want
to. No, most likely.
The 53% of white women that voted for Trump, right?
Right,
exactly. When I say privilege, I mean their white privilege.
Yeah. Right. Okay, right. And then you have the people who genuinely believe that Trump is going to make their lives better because their life economically is so. Like, whatever, and they really truly believe that the propaganda that they hear, that this is all a bunch of liberals having a feminazi temper tantrum and, like, one giant, like, whining because Hillary lost and Trump won. That's the other thing that I've seen on Facebook.
I've seen that, too, and it's infuriating.
And, you know, to that,
like, dude, seven continents.
To that I say,
so beyond this one man. It is so beyond.
Yeah.
You know, and even if you want to get, like, talk about just people that marched against Trump, like, on the basic level, you've seen that thing going around, the letter that some woman wrote to her friends who were Trump supporters. And they said, please understand, I'm not mad at you because Clinton lost. I am totally unconcerned that you and I have different politics, and I don't think less of you because you voted one way and I another. No, I think less of you because you watched an adult mock a disabled person while addressing a crowd and still supported him. I think less of you because you saw a candidate spout clear racism day after day and still backed him. I think less of you because you heard him advocate for war crimes and still thought he should be given the reins of government. I think less of you because you watched him equate a woman's worth to where she landed on a scale of 1 to 10 and still got on board. I think less of you because you stood by silently while he labeled Mexicans as criminals and Muslims as terrorists. So it wasn't your politics I found repulsive. No, it was your willingness to support someone who spouts racism, sexism, and cruelty almost every time he opens his mouth. You sided with a bully when it should have mattered most, and that is something I'll never be able to forgive. So in response to your post-election expression of hope, no, you and I won't be coming together to move forward. Obviously, the president-elect disgusts me, but it is the fact that he doesn't disgust you that will stick with me long after the election.
Oh, that's good.
Yep.
So, I think it was a man that wrote that too. Sorry. The byline was at the end, but there was a picture of a woman in it. So I guess it was a stock photo.
And I think that's also one of my favorite signs.
In case you're wondering, the woman in the stock photo is totally an 8. I'm just kidding.
Nice. But yeah, I think we, just to shout out to our male feminists that showed up. A friend of mine was there with his feminism is for everyone sign, holding it tall, holding it proud, and then having to justify himself to his conservative aunt on Facebook about how could he march? How could his wife stand by him? Like, you know, it's like, it's,
how could his wife stand by him as he cares about
exactly
things that affect the lives of
I,
oh, shit.
So weird.
That's right. That was my point where I was starting. I feel like the males on Facebook who are or on social media that just don't understand, I feel like they're afraid that they might lose the comfy, cushiony privilege that they have now. Like,
hell yeah, they are.
Anyway, we should move on a little bit. But before we do, true. I just want to give a shout out to the Star Wars character who gets the least amount of attention as being the actual leader of the resistance, and that's Mon Mothma. Okay, sorry. I know the Star Wars lovers out. There was a woman that led that resistance in that movie, okay? It wasn't Princess Leia. It was actually a badass woman who didn't get a lot of screen time because she was kind of an older actress.
She was not an aunt anymore.
Yeah.
No, she wasn't. She was probably in her, like, 30s, and Carrie Fisher was, like, 19, so. She was, like, my age, okay? So we have one last thing of feedback before we move on from March Talk. And if you were at the march at all and have any, or any of the marches, rather, and have any, want to share any stories or whatnot, we would love to hear it. You can email us them at thebroadcasters3@gmail.com, or you can call us 331-276-2373. That's 331-276-BROADS3. Look at me, still not looking it up. okay, so Jana's email's kind of long, but it's her experience with why she marched, and we will close out this section with that, and we're going to read it. We're going to, all three of us, take turns reading it. So the broadcast players are warming up because after this segment's over, we will be returning for a special one-night return performance.
One-night engagement.
One-night engagement, so...
All right. Okay, the email starts. Hi, ladies. I love the podcast and look forward to hearing it every week. Thank you so much for the time you all put into bringing it to us. Your talk about going to the Women's March on Washington inspired me. A little background. I grew up in a small southern town, but moved to Los Angeles after graduating from the University of Georgia. I lived in LA for 20 years and loved it. A very diverse city, which is pretty progressive and accepting of all kinds. I moved back to small town North Carolina 7 years ago due to a number of reasons. The most difficult thing about being back here is the extremely different mentality. Mostly, I just keep my mouth shut and I clench my fists to keep from screaming at all the obnoxious, racist, small-minded, religious zealot, uneducated redneck idiots that live all over abundance here. After hearing you talk on the last podcast about attending the Women's March, I did a little research and I thought it would be a good outlet to express my beliefs and support. I found that there were 3 marches in my area and decided to go to the Charlotte March since it was the closest and the biggest city. Woo-hoo. Unfortunately, I made... Unfortunately, I made the decision to attend on Friday, so preparation time was quite limited. Therefore, no pussy hat. It's all right. I'm wearing mine today, so it's fine. You didn't have to wear it at the march. You can still pussy hat in spirit. I stayed up until 3 a.m. on Friday night/Saturday morning making my minimalist sign and got 3 hours of sleep. Actually, some of the minimalist signs were some of my favorites because they probably were the most heartfelt and like you really could focus on the message and the words. Anyway, I digress. Still attending, making a stand was the main point. The signs and the hat were just extras. Very good point. I did choose to wear my appropriate pink Stephen Amell Sincerely t-shirt and ended up grabbing my Winter is Coming hoodie, unintentionally appropriate, as it was chillier than expected due to the heavy fog. And tag.
I had no idea what to expect as I drove the 30-minute trek to First Ward Park near the stadium where the Carolina Panthers play. And on the corner where Google Fiber's offices are located. Charlotte is a rather progressive city, but it's surrounded by large pockets of 1950s mentality, so it was a toss-up as to what kind of turnout there would be. As I neared the staging area, the first parking lot I tried was full, but it was a small lot, so still wasn't sure what to think. I found parking in the next lot, chugged more coffee, and scarfed down the scrambled eggs I had brought with me, grabbed my sign, and headed over. I was very pleasantly surprised to see that the attendance was very good, and this was an hour before the march was scheduled to start. People of all races, genders, and ages continued to stream in with some great signs, shirts, hats, balloons, their dogs, and even a stuffed wildcat in attack position on top of some sort of a cart with a sign saying, I grab back. Nice. My favorite signs had Princess Leia on them, or Carrie Fisher sent me, the woke baby, and so many issues, not enough sign.
Oh, the last time I saw Jana was outside of Panther Stadium. Anyway, we were told that we were only allowed to march on the sidewalks, not in the streets. It took an hour for the whole crowd to get out of the staging area, and when we did, the cops had blocked off the streets to traffic so that we could walk in the streets. It turns out that many more showed up than expected, so in order to accommodate the crowd size, it was necessary to route us down the streets. They thought it would be a few thousand tops, but reports said they estimated 15 to 20,000 showed up. It was a wonderful experience. The diversity and the unity of the massive tide of people was so uplifting and inspiring. There were no problems or fights or anything, just everyone joining together to make our voices heard for what we believed in. Everyone was accepted and supported, which I think has been a feeling difficult to come by in recent times. Upon returning home and seeing the massive turnout all over the world, there was finally a beacon of hope after the sense of impending doom that I felt since November. I hope all of you who participated in various marches had great experiences as well, and I hope that it will lead to continued organization and motivation to overthrow this ridiculously backwards regime as quickly as possible. Thank you again for all you do, Jana.
Nice.
Very nice.
Yay!
Speaking of very nice, I think it's time for the broadcast players to come back, no?
Yay!
Woohoo! All right, so moving on to, from here on out, this show, I swear to God, is going to be so much lighter and more fun. Like, I swear we don't have an email about abortion or date rape coming up. Not at all. So fasten your seatbelts, boys and girls. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
Alternative facts.
No, so we've got some fun. We got some fun stuff coming up before we delve back into serious and then fun again. This article, this is from November 18th. I'm sorry, November 18th. This article is from January 18th, and it is called Nothing Beats, B-E-E-T-S, the office prank this woman pulled on a Tinder match. Fact, even Jim Halpert would be proud of a prank this masterful. Over the weekend, a woman named Caroline from Cleveland, Ohio, tweeted out a very special conversation she had with a guy she met on Tinder. Yesterday, I convinced a boy that I am a beet farmer by using quotes from The Office, the Kent State University freshman wrote on Twitter. Caroline mimed material from Dwight Schrute, everyone's famous Scranton-based beet-loving paper salesman. All right, who wants to be Nate, and who wants Nate the date? Nate the date! And who wants to be date. Who wants to be Caroline? Caroline.
Well, I don't know. I feel like I'm always the girl and you're always the dude, but we could switch it up if you want.
If you want to.
Up to you, my dear.
Okay.
This is your rodeo.
I fucking love this article. Shandy, do you two want to do it to like switch it up a little?
Nope.
Hard pass.
Shandy. I want to listen to the two of you. You guys are the broadcast players.
Okay, Shandy.
I'm working on the props. Or something sort of behind the scenes.
Like you're the stage manager?
Stage manager.
I don't know if I'd put manager in that.
She's the PSN. Title, all right. Yeah. But Shandy, I do have a question. If it was between...
I'm the high school volunteer.
If it was between doing trivia and being a broadcast player and your entrance to the bouncy house bunker at the end of the world with cup holders in the bouncy house and electrical outlets to charge your phone, which would you pick?
Like really putting me out of my comfort zone.
This is Trump's America. We're all outside of our comfort zone.
Yep. You got to think of your escape plan.
You're going to blow up that inflatable slide and say, see you bitches, as you go out that plane.
Give up?
So I think it would depend on the length of the piece for the broadcast players.
It's this. And so it's like three screen scraps. It's three screen caps worth of text.
Because I was going to say on the broadcast player's side, it would depend on the length of the piece, and on the trivia side, it would depend on the size of the team. So size and length here are very important.
There we go with how it's used.
I say go with being a broadcast player because we're awesome.
I probably. Okay. Because it'd be faster.
It's more fun.
Yeah, it's true.
Trivia is a lot of fun too.
Depending.
I'm really hoping we hit that Patreon level.
Yes, Patreon level.
I'm super excited.
We're like $250 away
what,
from
what
hitting
level
it
was that?
That's the putting me on the spot here. Hold on, I've got it. Patreon.com. It's loading. It's loading. Not fast enough. Ooh, there goes my phone alarm. This is not great. Okay, here it is. Browser history. Patreon.com/JayandJack. So that is the $1,250 level. We are currently at $1,044. And all the hosts of the network will come together for an epic trivia event. And the host of that trivia is going to be none other than the awesome graphics designer, Jacob Parr.
Creator. Oh, great!
I know.
So if you want to see me squirm, then become a patron.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And if you just want to see me really happy, because I'm super excited for this idea, and I really want to do it. Not for the Shandy being nervous, the trivia part. just to be clear.
I'm excited for all of it. Although, I guess our trial test run for the trivia will be when we do the live Mary Man broadcast crossover show for everyone. And that will be Wednesday, February 8th at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And I'm sure that when they do their... Yeah, I'm sure when they do their like calendar thingy, their weekly, you know, trivia off their calendar thingy.
Oh, I'm sure when they do their call not it on that.
Okay, well, I'm sure when they do that, like it's going to be us versus them, and it's going to be fine, Shandy. You don't have to answer anything. No. You just have to sit there and drink the wine.
Mm-mm.
You're going to be fine.
Don't worry, we'll do. We'll carry you. It'll be fine.
All right. Broadcast players. Let's, me.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Caroline. And you're Nathan.
You always pick the bigger character. I want the bigger character this time.
What the fuck? I was not the bigger character last time. I was the dude in the headphones. It was equal opportunity. I was the dude during the Caroline.
I'm always the one that's like, yeah, I don't know. My name's Jessica.
What are you fucking talking about? Fine. I'm Nate the Date, and you be Caroline. Go.
Okay. No, it starts with you.
That's Caroline.
No.
No. No, it's not.
What are you talking about? Oh, shit. I was on the wrong one.
Okay. This is a real role reversal here.
Seriously. All right. You really like beets?
Yep.
Interesting.
My grandfather left me a 60-acre working beet farm. I run it with my cousin, Mo. We sell beets to the local stores and restaurants.
Well, that's really cool. 60 acres. That's a lot. Gosh.
Yeah, it's really fun. Golly. First rule in roadside beet sales, put the most attractive beets on top. The ones that make you pull the car over and go, wow, I really need this beet right now. Those are the money beets. I love tea.
You love the tea.
I love the tea. correction. I love it.
Asterisk. Well, that's cool.
You know
that was
say.
Way more enthusiastic than I'm sure this dude is probably one in the actual fuck.
Probably.
Well, that's cool. That's cool, baby.
You know what they say. Stop sipping on my wine. You know what they say. Those who can't farm, farm celery.
I don't farm, but I love nature. My family built a cabin 50 years ago. No electricity. There is no grammar in between that sentence, by the way. It's beautiful. We own also no grammar there. It's beautiful. We own about 75 acres.
I grew up on a farm. I've seen animals having sex in every position imaginable. Goat on chicken, chicken on goat, a couple of chickens doing a goat, a couple of pigs watching.
Well, that's awesome. Bears beats Battlestar Galactica.
End scene.
End scene. times, good times.
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
Although all the reactionary tweets are also really funny, like all the office memes.
Yes.
And like gifts and stuff. This is really good.
Oh, good times. All right.
Man, she got a shrewd buck.
A shrewd buck. That's so right.
Did I tell you guys that I'm watching 6 Feet Under?
I saw it somewhere. I don't know if you said it here or I saw it on social media.
Yeah, I'm watching 6 Feet Under, and in season 3, Rainn Wilson has like a recurring character, and he's like a really young, like it's way before The Office, so it's like a young Dwight Schrute.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it's really kind of awesome because there's a lot of similarities, but it's like he just plays like weird left of center awkward human being like really, really well.
Speaking of like seeing people like you didn't know, Jay is rewatching Parks and Rec right now, and Justin Theroux is on season 2.
Yes, he was.
And he's like little Justin Theroux. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's so stupidly handsome.
I know. I've seen The Leftovers. I know there's no such thing as little Justin Theroux, but still, he is stupidly handsome. I hope we're in the same bunker when the world ends.
He's invited. He is absolutely invited into my bouncy castle bunker.
It's only fair. But
it's only fair.
See, this is why you guys don't want me on your trivia team, because now I'm Googling who Justin Theroux is.
He is Jennifer Aniston's husband and the star of The Leftovers.
Okay, that doesn't help.
Do you see what I did there, though? I said he was Jennifer Aniston's husband before I said what his actual body of work was. How does it feel now, man?
Nice.
Just fight that patriarchy. Do it.
Fuck you, Rita Wilson.
God, he doesn't.
I'm sorry. Fuck you, Tom Hanks. So... You're Rita Wilson's husband.
I'm so confused. I've seen Parks and Rec, but this guy does not look.
He's only
familiar.
In the second. I think he's only in the second season. Yeah. He's Leslie's love interest. He's the star of The Leftovers,
which I haven't seen yet.
And he's The Leftovers is awesome. And he's also a writer. He wrote Tropic Thunder and some.
Yes,
other
he did.
Games. Yeah, he fucking did.
He wrote Zoolander 2. Don't hold it. Don't fault him for that. We all have turkey sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't seen
me. Exactly. That was me the first half of this podcast. All right. So are you guys ready to bring Facey back?
I'm bringing Facey back.
Woo! All right. I'll start. We need somebody to create that music for us. I guess I could ask Jay. Oh, yes. My God. I'm going to ask Jay.
I'm bringing Facey back.
Woo!
Don't know how to pun.
We need someone to write the lyrics for that too. It's got to start with "I'm bringing Facey back," though. That's the only requirement.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm it's kind of like in the porn festival where you had to make the "Wear the Make America Great Again" slogan hat somewhere. That's the only thing is it's got to start with "I'm bringing Facey back." All right. I'll start because it's my favorite subject. Matt says, speaking of closed Taco Bells, one of the best recurring jokes on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, female-created entertainment, is them teasing a song and dance number called Period Sex. Also, I have to imagine Googling Period Sex Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is like walking into a mine.
Because I did, because...
Oh, you did tell
obviously,
us.
I didn't get the reference. Yes, obviously, I didn't get the reference, so I had to look it up. it was not... I found it right away. It was not... Yeah, no.
Did you Google image search it?
I didn't scroll through, like, pages of... I went to YouTube.
No, you got to do a Google image search. That's where your minefield probably happens.
No, because
happens.
The whole thing was based on, like, a song. It was an audio thing. Anyway, it was really funny. I liked it.
It's supposed to be a great show.
Yeah, it is.
It's supposed to be really
funny. Oh, yeah. I haven't watched any of the show, but that little clip of the song was really catchy.
Matt speaks wonders of it all the time in the main.
Maybe it's
what is that? Is somebody, trying to call me? Do you guys hear that?
No.
I hear... Okay. What is that noise? Whatever. We'll live. All right. And then the butter story. We'll leave it at that. If you don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to last week's episode because I don't want to spoiler alert. I don't want to spoil the joke. Skip ahead 30 seconds so you don't get spoiled on the story. Golden Sink Pisser Jones says, salt brings moisture. Still unsure of the context, but as long as it's not being eaten, I'm fine with it. Dennis just went, no way. No period. Way, period. Well, it was one way. Tried to make it two.
It was both ways.
Yeah.
That was a two-way street. Yeah.
Both ways. Matt S says, I thought of Shandy when buttering my bread at dinner tonight. I think butter is ruined for me.
I'm so happy that I could help ruin butter. Never did I ever think somebody would say, I thought of you when I was buttering my toast.
Isn't buttering your toast or butter, isn't it like a euphemism for sex too at some point? Right?
Oh.
I mean, really anything can be a euphemism for sex if you say it in the right emphasis.
Yeah. I feel like it's...
it's like, you can butter my toast.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know?
I'm trying to... that's true.
You can iron my shirt.
Ooh, yeah, you can butter my toast. Yeah. I like that.
You know, like...
Guys, in the bunker, if something happens and I'm there alone, or if it's just a very small group of us and I get bored, you guys can butter my toast any day.
Oh my God, Colleen. Sorry, I just looked it up in Urban Dictionary.
And?
I'm just reading from UrbanDictionary.com. Butter the toast means, the top definition is, to come all over a nice pussy. Example, she got pregnant, but man, did I butter her toast.
Okay.
So there you go.
Well, there you go.
You're right.
All right.
I've learned something new.
Which is good.
Yep.
Now, can you incorporate that in a sign somewhere? No, Mr. President, you cannot butter my toast or grab my toast.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so Dennis also said, I hope you broads get to see and discuss Hidden Figures. That's not my list.
Oh, yeah.
Me
too.
I heard it was super good.
Yeah, I heard it was awesome. Eckhart says, I could listen to you ladies debate fonts every week.
Oh, shucks.
I know. I'll debate your font. Right? Does that work?
I'll be a master debater of your fonts.
Speaking of buttering toast and debating fonts, I think we've got a phone call that may be on that very subject.
Yay.
Hello, Broadcaster 3. This is Jay. I'm calling with a post-coitus call. Yeah, so my question for the ladies was, like, what do you do if your significant other, like, yawns while you're in the middle of doing said deed? So I was just wondering, like, how I should take that. And I'm just wondering, you know, from a lady's opinion, should I be worried if the person I'm engaging in these acts with is yawning? But anyways, just curious for your thoughts, and thanks, and bye.
Thank you to whoever that was. I do want to note that when I came out of the bathroom, I was in the bathroom when that phone call started, so I did not realize that was happening.
That really was like very post-coital. Then.
No, it was like within probably 60 seconds.
Go to the bathroom.
And I wrote it down as soon as it started. Because you don't want to get a UTI. Hello.
Exactly.
No, you do not.
That there is some free healthcare advice for all of you. Always pee after sex.
For all of you women.
Yeah. Yep.
Do yourself a favor.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is a direct quote. As Susie hung up the phone, I only had sex with you so I could leave that message.
So I guess, Colleen, we should be saying you're welcome, or Will should be saying you're welcome.
I don't know.
That voicemail got you laid? Is that what happened here?
I don't know, but apparently I was half asleep for it.
Hey, you know, so life gets busy. Sometimes it's not always about you. Sometimes you're not getting enough oxygen in your body. And so you yawn.
Exactly. Or you're getting too much oxygen. And actually, that's why singers yawn after they warm up their vocal cords, right? Because they're taking in extra air or something. It's stretching it out.
No. That's a stretch. Yeah, it's a stretch. That like, oh.
So maybe I was just stretching my vocal cords so I could like moan or something. I probably was just tired. I don't even remember that. That was like a week ago.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I legitimately do not remember the circumstances. All right, we have one more quick call. Let's get to that. And that's from the always wonderful Maggie.
Hey, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. This is Maggie from Northern Virginia. This is my inauguration day pre-March phone call. I just listened to the episode today, and I had a few comments. Colleen, as a preschool teacher, I wanted to say great job in finally having Zach say, well, where do you think it's going? Because it's giving him a chance to think and maybe come up with a different answer. But yes, preschoolers like the same ask the same things over and over again, and the repetition. They like the repetition. They like knowing the answer is going to be the same. It's something to do with their lives are so they don't know enough about their lives.
Well, the call gets cut off, which makes me sort of sad, but I kind of get the point that she was going to. And Maggie, I need your post inauguration call. I'm waiting for that.
Me too.
But yeah, Zach has been adorable. You probably saw the thing on my Facebook today that he found this thing in the shape of a moon and he put it on like a stick and he like it was in my closet in a shoebox. It was essentially the thing that goes, you know, where the toes go to keep.
Yeah.
So he put them like together and was like, "Happy birthday, mommy!" And it's not my birthday, but he equates birthday and Christmas with presents because he just had the birthday party this weekend where his friend got the presents. So I think that's where he got that from and was like, you know, his saying happy birthday was like, here's a present, mommy. And I was like, what is it? Because I didn't know what it was. And he was like, a moon. The moon. I made you the moon. It was so cute. I know. He's literally the cutest thing ever.
He is cute.
Yeah.
He's over the moon for you.
He is. Aww. Good times. All right. So we've got a couple more things of feedback coming up. So let's finish that up and get out of here. And everybody make their post-coitus calls. 331-276-2373. It's not that hard.
Nope.
It's not as embarrassing as you think. Your parents probably won't listen to this show. My in-laws might, but my parents probably won't. So really, what's the embarrassment done me? All right.
Okay. So we have a follow-up email from Anonymous from last week. And they say...
Oh, actually, before you start Jay told me that he hated my response to it. He said I was very doom and gloom and... He did not like that I was insistent that if somebody identifies as asexual, I should just accept that and not try to project my own experiences with depression on somebody else, which I totally see and I totally agree. But like, as we talked about when we hung up last week, like if you want advice, I can like give it based on my experience and you know, my experience with like that kind of stuff has to deal with like depression and anxiety. So yeah, but yeah, this wasn't the bit lost person. Shit. Yeah. This was the other one.
No, I was gonna say, so this is the guy who wrote A Bit Lost, which was our first anonymous email, and he's responding to the second anonymous emailer.
Okay. I'm sorry, I had my anonymous emailers mixed up.
Yeah, I did too. I just skimmed it and I was like, okay. Yeah,
but so Anonymous is following up and responding to Anonymous 2.
Okay.
Okay, so an anonymous one was
One whose partner from 2 weeks ago, his partner was texting somebody who she had promised not to, that we assumed she hadn't had an affair with.
The person in the 20-year marriage.
And it was the issue was that he had asked her to stop because it was genuinely like hurting him.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, this is all good because now I will phrase it differently.
And apologies to Mrs. Asexual. I didn't mean to, you know, downplay how you're feeling.
Right. Okay. So we have an email from Anonymous from 2 weeks ago, responding to Anonymous from last week. So I will dub them Anonymous 1 and Anonymous 2.
It's like thing one and thing two.
Yeah. So the email is from Anonymous 1, and they say, "Hey, ladies, I wanted to follow up and also weigh in on the asexual partner email from last episode. First, after weighing everything, I haven't left, but I feel like every time this issue arises, I stay less and less because of my partner and more out of logistics for our child." And just to catch everybody up, Anonymous 1 sent us an email.
I'm not even going to cut what we just said out, so don't worry about it.
Okay, great. Never mind. I shall continue. Hopefully, I never come to the point where the scales are so far tipped that I just walk, but I can't say for certain. In regards to asexual, I would implore him not to cheat. I completely understand the frustration and that desire, but like Colleen remarked, it's a truth you will never fully get back. You have to raise a child together, regardless of your romantic status, and trust is important. Exhaust all other options first, and if it comes to it, break amicably before you break that trust with her. It is unfair, I feel, to expect you to remain monogamous if she really does not have sexual desire. Try and find a middle ground if you can, but for your own sake and your child, avoid the turmoil that comes with cheating. And I agree, and I think that's very, very good advice. Cheating is never the answer.
He said in one paragraph what it took us 15 minutes to say last week. So right on.
Pretty much. You know, some people are just have a way with words.
Yeah.
And brevity. Also, to be fair, in email, it's easier to focus your thoughts than when you're just
drinking
wine and rambling and talking in circles.
Brevity is the wit of all things, right? The wit of the soul or some shit, whatever.
I don't know. I liked what you said. Whatever. That's pretty.
Cool. Thanks. Shandy Pants?
I don't know.
No, go ahead. Go for it.
Mine is going to be like super nitpicky.
Let that nitpick flag fly. That can be the flag over the bouncy house bunker.
All right. Yeah, like definitely. I agree. Like try to exhaust the other options first, but. I don't know. I mean, I think like we talk about, it's never good to do anything that's like mean to your partner, but it's just interesting that like cheating is like considered the worst thing that you can possibly do in the world.
I don't think we're saying that it's the worst thing that you can possibly do, like at all. Like there's definitely situations where if you can learn from that and move on and become stronger and not have it something that repeats when things like, you know, go wrong or whatever, then... I'm not saying it's a good thing, but you know, I'm not saying it's something because there's still a party that hurts. I'm just, I don't know. You can turn lemons into lemonade, like Beyonce said.
Yes, but please
don't cheat on her just to expect to turn lemons into lemonade, because clearly, if she's asexual, that lemonade ain't turned into lemon. No, wait, whatever. You know what I'm trying to say.
Right. But I think it's like. Cheating is sort of a byproduct of the fact that trust is lost by cheating. That there's a difference of like agreeing, like talking about it first, agreeing to be in an open relationship so that he can sleep with other people versus cheating, which is something that's done behind the partner's back and is therefore breaking a trust, which I think that is ultimately, it's like trust is the worst, losing trust is the worst thing, and cheating is the vehicle to which you lose the trust.
Sure. I just also think that it's not like necessarily so black and white, like to the point where that trust could never return. Cause I think it could, depending on the people and depending on the circumstances. So I just, well,
yeah, it's definitely circumstantial.
As hard line of a,
yes.
But I would also say it was the other part of the email that was really interesting was Anonymous One's follow up on themselves about staying for the child. And I think whatever you ultimately decide to do, is your decision. I hope for the best for everyone involved, but I don't know. Like staying for a child. I mean, I think kids can sense when like their parents are not getting along, you know,
absolutely.
And are not like good fits for each other. So I think that if you want to stay, like, more power to you, but I don't think it's necessarily, I think you can also leave for the child, like, to model a different type of relationship to your child. So I mean, it's all very complicated.
It is complicated. I think some of the definite times to leave would be in the case of, like, outward abuse, Melania. But, like, sorry. I think that sometimes, you know, the definite times that, you know, you should definitely leave would be, you know, like, clear, like, abuse, emotional, physical, verbal, or whatever, because then your child, like, directly affects, is affected. If you're saying, mm-hmm. if you and your partner get along, that your child doesn't pick up on tensions, and again, I don't know how you could have tensions and not have your child pick up on it, but, like, if you're, like, really that good, then, like, super power to you. I'm an Italian, so, you know, if I get pissed that, you know, Jay pooped too long in the bathroom in the morning and I couldn't take a shower and it was like an extra 5 minutes. Like, I have a hard time hiding my annoyance of, like, I'm 5 minutes late to shower now. So, like, you know, good on you.
Like, you guys have a squatty potty. Come on.
I know. That's the fucking problem is we have a squatty potty, but, like, Jay will turn the fucking shower water on, let that run for like 12 goddamn minutes, then take a shit while it's running. I know. I hate it so much.
And
then,
you know,
that's like really wasteful. That's really wasteful.
I say that every day, so that's why I shower at night, because I can't get a fucking shower in edgewise in the morning. But, you know, it's like, where's daddy at? And I'm like, daddy's taking poopies. And, like, this goes on. This is the repeat question for like 20 minutes. I'm like, daddy's making poopies. Daddy's making poopies. Daddy's taking a shower. Yo, daddy's still making poopies. Oh, no, I think daddy's in the shower. Oh, I just heard the toilet flush while the water's running. Okay, now daddy's taking a shower. So, I mean, we got some shit going on here, literally and figuratively. So, I'm just saying.
Oh, dear.
But anyway, anything else to follow up on that? Like,
I was going
to
say, does that take us into our super serious email? Like, from laughing to...
Yeah, we got something. Oh, yeah. Actually, this is actually very topical now, considering. Mm-hmm. So this is from Anonymous. And Shandy, shit, you're going to read it. This is pink. We're color coordinating our emails now, guys, on the Google Docs. And this is pink, but I'm purple, so I got a little confused. I didn't actually read the name next to it. I was just like, this looks lighter than the blue one that Amanda has. Sorry, go ahead.
I mean, because the color coding is great, but I think the real key here is that it says Shandy. Yeah.
I'm just looking for the color, though. Like, I'm not even kidding.
Okay, so we have an email from Anonymous 3, we're going to say.
Yay! So many.
You know what? I actually, these anonymous emails are actually my favorite, because if something is so, like, personal and maybe
sensitive,
messy, sensitive, yeah, like, complicated, that you would want to send it in anonymously, I think that makes for a very interesting discussion.
Yeah, and totally.
Yeah, not like throwing shade on anyone who wrote in with their actual name, but no, these have been really interesting. So
yeah, fuck you for your 20 paragraph long email about the Women's March before Jana.
No, I love them all. I love them all. But that's like definitely the theme that all of these anonymous 1, 2, and 3 have in common is that they're intense. Yeah,
I know.
Really intense. No, this is signed by Anon. So I guess we have Anonymous 1, Anonymous 2, and Anon. Okay.
A mystery.
So Anon says, right up front, this is a difficult email to write up, but I think it's an important talking point that has yet to come up on the broadcast, really. My girlfriend and I, unfortunately, had to go through the process of an abortion at the end of 2016. Now, we both share the same values and opinions on pretty much everything. We had this talk early on in our relationship and knew ahead of time what we would do in this hypothetical situation. Ultimately, I made it very clear that this was her decision above all, and I would support her whichever way she leaned. But she reciprocated that love and trust by making it a two-way conversation to where we both were agreeing on what's best. We know that we both are at a point in our lives where she has returned to school and neither of us are in a position in our careers where we want to be. No matter how much mental preparation we had, it was still very difficult once it became far less hypothetical. And go figure, it was the last thing to have happened in the rolling dumpster fire that was 2016. A very hard and dramatic period, or lack thereof.
I see what he did there.
At the end.
Humor.
Yes. A dramatic, difficult time at the end of the year. I'm so incredibly proud of her. She was so strong and so stable throughout. She continues to amaze me, as we both have had an extremely healthy relationship before, during, and after this. It was the right choice, and we know it. We had to travel for this, as we cannot get the proper care in our state. And we plan to continue to donate to Planned Parenthood as they need it, especially after our horrendous encounters with the self-righteous protesters planted outside. We see now more than ever that it is important. I hope this can open up a good conversation, maybe not as funny as sink, piss, and squatty potty cracks, but yeah, something still worth talking about. Thank you, ladies, for everything you do. Stay strong in the new year, and I'll talk to you soon. Anon.
Every topic is a good conversation.
Well, we have our favorites. Mean, no, we don't play favorites. What?
Well, we have our repeats, our topics that are in syndication.
Yes, exactly.
Go ahead. I mean, it's
I think
we somewhat covered this earlier, but let's get into this.
We did actually talk a lot about abortion this episode. Yeah. This is like
the abortion episode.
Like perfect.
Let's not make that the episode title.
We'll get a lot of downloads with an episode title like that.
That's very true.
Oh my God, guys. We should get the alt right after us.
Man. I don't want to be put on any lists or anything.
Oh, yeah, we'll totally. I mean, they put an entire government agency on a list today. We are nothing.
And it's the environmental agency.
All right, abortion.
Okay, abortion.
Abort the environmental topic. Sorry.
I think that this is like the picture perfect scenario in like how this should go down. Like two adults that were engaged in a consensual relationship
with
something
mutual
happened.
Respect,
they
clearly.
Made with mutual uh-huh. respect. They made. A very like conscious and conscientious decision about how to proceed. I love that this writer is like, I respect that ultimately she has the last say because it is her body, your sperm, but her body. So that's really awesome. And then because they have this mutual respect, she was able to be like, okay, no, let's actually like decide this together. And then they did. And yeah, I mean, I think like, I know, you know, people in my life who've had an abortion, and this is just anecdotal because it's just my personal experience with people I know, but I don't know anyone who regrets their decision. Like, it doesn't mean that it was an easy decision. For some people, it's super easy and it's like no big deal and whatever. For other people, it's a very, very difficult decision and, you know, very something that they maybe think about all the time. I don't know. I can't speak for them. I haven't experienced that, but I personally don't know anyone who's been like, oh yeah, that was that, you know. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that. So I will leave it to the two of you. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, again, we've already talked about abortion a lot, but Anon, I just super respect you for being such a supportive partner. And I respect your lady for making probably one of the hardest decisions a woman is faced with. And I just applaud your guys' strength and your ability to communicate and face it as a united front. I think it's, I don't know how I would react if I were in that situation, but I would hope that I would be as strong as you guys.
Actually, everything that Amanda said is, you know, I, and Shandy, like I love that you guys came to the decision together. Love that you gave it her the choice and that she reciprocated it. Like, that's really awesome. That's totally like a great relationship and partnership. And you know, I'm sorry that you had to make that decision because it could not have been an easy decision, even though you spoke about it beforehand. And especially going through all the protesters and whatever. Everything that Amanda said, I totally echo. But, you know, kudos to you guys for being able to go through something like that and come out stronger, because I don't think that that could have been easy whatsoever. And yeah, totally, like, this country, like we talked about, like it needs to have, we're never going to, this country is never, because it's such a hot topic and religion is so strong, still, like the opinion of it, like we're never going to come to a agreement, but it's definitely something to look at, especially when you look at how, not to get political, certain, it's that being, if you guys went through this at the end of 2017 versus 16, you might have been looking at a totally different situation.
Different experience.
Oh my God. So, I think that we should open this up to the listeners. If you guys have anything that you want to say about this, email or call in. I've said it before, but, you know, broadcasters3@gmail.com or 276-331-BROADS3. So, yeah.
Because actually, the last thing that I wanted to add about this particular email was thank you for sharing it with us, because
I think it's
really important to share these kinds of stories, because again, this is like one of those other things that people don't really talk about all that much, but like, it affects so many people.
Absolutely.
Like, it should totally be normalized, and so that's what just happened. Like, normal people do, you know, have to grapple with these things. So, yay.
All right. Moving on to the final email of the night. This is from Christy. It's a date rape Christmas. Hey, ladies. I just wanted to, we're ending this show on such a fun note.
I know, right?
It's okay, guys. We're going to pick out furniture for the bouncy house bunker after this in the outro.
Yes. So we'll be fine.
Hey ladies, I wanted to share my observations of the much debated Christmas song, Baby It's Cold Outside. To me, it's always been a window into the past and the social pressures and lack of freedom that women had to contend with during my grandmother's generation. I find it fascinating and a real measure of how we have made so much progress in a relatively short amount of time. The woman is commenting on her society. She talks about all those things that will judge her just for staying late, because they will all think she was doing something inappropriate. She points it out to him and us. I never thought of it that way. But okay. However, she never says no. Heck, she's with him alone somewhere, and that was pretty taboo. Then she must have gone willingly. And now she is caught in the dilemma that I imagine many girls/women have been in at some point or another. You are having a great time alone with a guy you really like and you really want to stay and don't want the night to end, but worry about the trouble you will get into when you don't live up to the other's expectations of you, and so you are weighing it out if it is worth it. I'd like to think that she tells them all to fuck off and stays, and they enjoy themselves. Sans pregnancy, of course, because that was pre-Roe v. Wade. LOL, just lots of fun, no babies, and no talking shit the next day. Winning! The what's in this drink line for me was always her coming up with another excuse for her to do what she wanted without some statement on her being a bad girl. She's been drinking, so anything she does, she could blame on that, which women did back then, according to my grandma. Ooh, I'd love to hear stories from Christy's grandma.
Sassy.
I bet Christy's grandma wore a pussy hat. Just to justify the things that they did for fun that was taboo. It's really sad that women couldn't just like a guy and do whatever was consensual without the whole town talking trash about her. Then there is the society pressures telling a woman back then that if they gave their flower to a man, he wouldn't respect her later. The fantasy of having to say no wasn't really a fantasy back then. It was how they did it if they weren't married. Women and girls were told that they must say no first. This set into motion a very weird dynamic of why we even have a date rape culture in the first place. Men ask, ladies say no, and then they asked again, and sometimes the ladies say yes. So she had to protest a little, so he felt that it was just him that won her and not every other guy who asked. It was a game. Society set it up to be a game, a hunt. But that just because it was a game, it doesn't mean that all females weren't willing participants. We know that the ladies enjoy the sex and everything that is involved with it just as much as men. thank goodness those pressures are off of us now. We can do whatever we want to with whomever we want to. And if the others don't like it, they can bugger off. Anyway, just thought maybe looking at it as a statement on society, on the society and how we have changed, it may be less icky for you. Love you gals and listening. Now debate. LOL, Christy. I kind of like thinking of it that way, that she's making a statement in society.
Well, and I think it's an interesting.
Definitely.
It's an interesting thought that I don't think we quite covered when we discussed it last time.
Yeah.
I think we sort of skirted around that idea of like, that's just what the times were like. But I think Christy did a better idea of extrapolating on that point.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I can feel how much Shandy disagrees, though. I can just feel it.
No. No, I mean, no.
That's just we're getting a little long and I'm getting tired face.
No. Was I yawning during it?
No, there was.
Hey, fuck you.
That was your normal, like, I really want to say something face.
I think I was just concentrating really hard on the screen.
So
I don't even remember.
Call you out. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. I mean, I do think that it's a testament to what the generation, or a couple of generations ago, what society was like. And like I said before, like, it was much more sexist than it is now. And I think that, there are relics of that in this song, which was written by a man also. Mm-hmm. So just throw that in there. But
fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway, but it's almost the end of January, so even though I start listening to Christmas songs sometimes as early as July, I have officially ended my Christmas song listening for now.
Hiatus.
So I won't be here to complain about Baby It's Cold Inside again until next year.
Good times. Yeah, no, I think that Christy makes some excellent points. And she also makes some excellent hats, so really it's a fair trade-off.
Yes.
True story.
All right. Yes. So we have one more thing of feedback, but we're going to save that phone call till next week. So you all have something to look forward to.
I think it's going to be really fun.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Oh, dear. Don't we have some patrons to thank or something?
We do. All right. So... So on that note, again, if you would like to email us, you can email thebroadcasters3@gmail.com. You can call us 331-BROADS3. That's 331-276-2373. If you want to tweet us, you can use the hashtag I'm with hers, because hello, you're with us and we're the hers. But yeah, at this point, we need to thank some special people, and that would be all you guys that are our patrons. Thank you so much for being a patron. Especially thanks to Molly the Millennial, Tack from Tokyo, and Eckhart. Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate all you do to help support us. If you want to be a patron, you go to patreon.com/jayandjack. We are, what, like $150 away or something like that? $110 away from the live trivia off between all the shows. Yay. I believe the teams are going to be, I know that they struggled with this on one of the podcasts recently. Maybe it was Sherlock or Married Men or some shit. But it's probably going to be Westworld. So it'll be Jay, Jack, and Mike versus Married Men, which would be Nick, Chris, and us. And then the sports talk with three stupid guys people. And I don't know if the Dancing with the Stars crew is also going to be a part of that. But they are more than welcome to, of course. So it could be a really fun trivia series, again, hosted.
I'm so excited.
I know, I'm really excited too. Somebody donate an extra $110 right now so we can get this done.
Bring a little life to my life.
Yes, please. But speaking of fulfillments, when we hit that $1,000 mark, we did promise a live broadcast Married Men crossover, and that is going to happen on Wednesday, February 8th, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We've already mentioned it once. February 8th is a National Jay and Jack Productions holiday, so... AKA the day that I turned 33. Just come and show up.
Jesus Christ.
Hashtag, you know, I'm with hers for that one or something, because it's my birthday and I'll cry if I want to and win trivia again if I want to. But yeah, if I think we need to start talking to people. If you guys want a question for the live crossover, by all means, send an email to either marriedmanpodcast@gmail.com or thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or call the respective phone numbers. They're 510-69-TAFFY. We're the one I just said, the 331 Broads 3. And make sure you note that it's for the crossover show so we can save it for that. I think it's going to be a really good time and everybody will be invited to it. So that's all I've got. Oh, and we're also thinking we usually get released on Fridays and we're trying to possibly be released earlier since we record on Tuesday nights. And it just makes more sense to be, release the shows earlier. So if you guys have any say in that, go to the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/JaneJackGroups, and give us some feedback there. Or if you're in the Patreon group, if you're a patron at $5 or more, the Jane Jack patron group, you can go. You're invited to that, and you can give us some feedback there too. Because we're kind of interested if people like the Friday release date, or if you guys want to hear us earlier in the week. But all right, does anybody else have anything?
Nope, I'm good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess on that note. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And this is Trump's America.
No, come on.
Goodbye.
No, we can't,
end on that note. That's too depressing.
This is our America. God damn it.
Damn it.
Peace out.
Nope. You will not get my love.
Oh. Oh my god, Colleen, that was hilarious.
I'm real funny.
Word to your mother.
Word to your mother. Fact. Even Jim Halpert would be proud of...
Ooh, sorry. Oh, mucus attack.
Oh, I'll cut that out. I'll cut that out. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, we're going to have some bloopers this week, ladies. Yep. The bloopers are back.
It needs a Mucinex. It's not comfortable. Okay.
Bloopinex.
Okay.
I'm funny sometimes. The more you drink, the funnier I am.
Always funny. Always. Okay. Back to the email.